Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
For years, Having Read That has featured interviews with authors, and I am departing from that format for a few episodes for a very good and special reason. Joining me today is Rick Jackson. He's a cold case investigator with the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office out in California. It's a community near San Francisco. Before joining that current department, though, he spent 35 years with the LAPD, mostly working homicides, and he was also a founding member of the department's cold case unit. And it was during his tenure as an LAPD detective when he met a young crime reporter with the Los Angeles Times named Michael Conley, who would go on to become one of the most successful crime novelists of our time. In fact, Conley's popular character, Harry Bosch, is based in part upon Detective Rick Jackson. Rick, I think there's a sense that police departments have no use for the media, for reporters, yet somehow you and Michael Conley not only became acquainted, but you gained a mutual respect for one another. So what was the thing that sort of fueled that relationship?
Well, I would say initially, especially as a young detective, you have a wariness about the media. You don't want to say anything wrong. You don't want to give more information than you should. And as you learn to develop your instincts in that area, you feel like you can venture into the world of providing information. And so when I first met Conley, or we first knew of each other, we really didn't have much of a relationship. It was a media police detective relationship. And then that all changed in 2003 when we met under completely different conditions, more as he wanted to pick my brain along with another detective who was my partner at the time. And since that meeting in 2003, we over the years have become very close friends, and I worked on his books and scripts and TV shows, the podcast, and so on. And so that was kind of what turned the whole thing around, just meeting under different circumstances.
How long did you spend on the LAPD before you began investigating homicides as a detective?
It was only about 5 years. I was a Hollywood area patrol officer, which is one of the stations or precincts within LAPD's, geographic confines. And then I became a trainee, a detective trainee, and it just happened to be the busiest year that Hollywood has ever had in the number of homicides that took place that year. And so I got loaned over there and started working homicide, and that's how I got my break. So I was a pretty young detective to be working homicides, but they put me with some really good people and under a great supervisor who had a history of, raising, if you will, good detectives that eventually worked homicide long term and eventually went downtown to Robbery Homicide Division, which specialized in, the more involved in high profile cases.
I, living in the Midwest, have always had this really romantic view of Los Angeles. I think of Hotel California. I imagine driving into Los Angeles. I think about the glamour and glitz of Hollywood, the absolute beauty of that city. But living and working there and seeing, as you did, working in patrol, not always the case, right?
No, definitely not. And like I said, most of my time as a patrol officer in my first probably 6 or 7 years of working homicide and other detective assignments was in Hollywood. And Hollywood in the 1980s was a pretty seedy place. You had the pretty much a gamut of everything going on there, with all the vice stuff happening, a lot of narcotics, obviously. There's a seediness about it. And as I've said before, taking people on tours, quote-unquote crime tours, or of Hollywood, when people go to Hollywood, they look at the famous sites. When I drive around Hollywood, even to this day, I see my crime scenes, and it takes me right back to, 30, 35 years ago.
We see the elite robbery homicide division portrayed in media. Is that kind of how it works in real life? They have this elite bunch of detectives who are working these cases. How's that all structured out?
Yeah, what happened, especially when I went there back in the 1980s and before that, robbery homicide was geared toward bringing in people that had proven themselves in their specific specialties, whether it was the sexual assault units, the homicide units, the robbery units, and that's what they looked for. People with quite a bit of experience already in that field. It's morphed a little bit now for whatever reason, and sometimes you get people that aren't as experienced. And but in theory, it's to get the best of the best, supposedly, and people that have proven that over a period of time in the local geographic divisions within LAPD.
You started working in this cold case unit when it was developed by the LAPD, and I think it's gone now, right?
Yeah, I think there may be like a person or two left that's just kind of lingering until it's totally dissolved. But yeah, it ran from, we started it in 2001, late part of 2001, and it pretty much was in effect just until the last year or two.
Well,
and did some great work. Matter of fact, there was an article written by Matthew McGough, who was on your show for the Lazarus file. And he wrote an article about the cold case unit within LAPD on its 10-year anniversary, and it's a pretty amazing article when you start to look at what we really accomplished. And even when I read it, I didn't realize we had accomplished that much, because he talked to a group of different detectives within our unit. So when you start looking at it in hindsight, it was a pretty remarkable 10-year period.
Well, cold cases became all the rage on television about 15 or so years ago, and you know that you'd see them fictionalized there. But what drew you to work in cold cases versus the ones that are hot?
A couple of things, actually. One is I'd already been working homicide, where there were numerous call-outs, and your hours are pretty ridiculous. I'd been doing that for 16 years. And I loved the homicide work, but at some point, as you age and you've been doing it for that long, even though I wanted to stay in homicide, that starts to take its toll on you. And so when the idea first started getting talked about in some kind of a serious fashion, I was all in. And the man that ran the unit, we knew each other back from our Hollywood detective days, and he wanted me in there as like the senior person. Because most of the detectives that were authorized to be pulling into that unit were younger, lesser experienced detectives for the most part. And, you know, there was a lot of sense from people in the high ranks that this is not that hard of a job. You know, you run all the evidence, you get DNA results, and you go out and make an arrest. Or you run a fingerprint that looks like a pretty viable print based on where it's located, or the fact that maybe it was in blood, and you get an identification, you go out and arrest the person. Well, it's far from that simple. And so Dave Lampkin, the man that ran the unit, convinced the powers to be that no, it's not that simple, and you need experienced people there to, you know, to really vet what needs to get done on these cases. So And the second part, really, is I just loved historical aspects of crime. So I just like going back to days years ago and looking at it from the perspective of now, but yet getting taken back into that time period. You know, your victims and their habits, the suspects and what they were doing 40 years ago or 30 years ago. Dealing with victims' families who basically had given up years before that anything was going to really come to fruition on getting answers on their loved ones' murders. That all really intrigued me. And I used to run a lot with a writer named James Elroy, and we talked a lot about historic crime in L.A., and his thing was it just sounded really great to get that knock at the door, and then when the door opens, you make the motion with your finger, come on, we need to go talk. And he goes, what a thrill to be able to do that. And it is. It's really, you know, it's really a draw to right a wrong that most people thought wasn't going to get righted, if you will, all these years later.
I'm talking with Rick Jackson, retired LAPD detective, now with the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office, working cold cases out there. Part of the inspiration for Harry Bosch, the great Michael Connelly character in his novels. You mentioned Matthew McGough, his fantastic book, Lazarus Files. That was a case you worked that I know a lot of people have read about. You and McGough are working on a forthcoming nonfiction book about another case of yours in, that took place in what's known as the Manson Tunnel, a death of a young UCLA astrophysics major, Ron Baker. The case was featured on Dateline. Tell me a little bit about that case.
Yeah, right from the get-go, I knew it was going to be kind of a unique case. It happened in 1990. The murder took place on the summer solstice, which in the occult community, depending on what occult philosophy you are interested in, can be a celebratory or holiday, especially in the Wiccan community. And he was interested in Wicca, meaning Ron Baker, our victim. And so I remember, as soon as I was notified that my partner and I were going to be handling the case, I had at that time there was somebody running the unit just temporarily while our main lieutenant was on vacation, and he says, "I got an interesting one for you," and that's how the conversation started, and it did. It was fascinating. It took place. The years covered 1990 to 96, from the time of the crime scene until there was a resolution in the case. And there were racial issues involved in the case. One suspect was black, one was white. That would really factor in to how the case got investigated and ended up being resolved because of what had happened, you know, between 1990 and 96 with the Rodney King incident, the eventual acquittal by the all-white jury out in Simi Valley, and then the violence that ensued after that verdict, and then eventually the O.J. Simpson case, which is obviously became, you know, racially tinged with the way that case played out. So that all factored into this case, too. And ironically, Marcia Clark was the prosecutor on the case as we were moving forward and getting ready to charge the eventual defendants. And then she had to leave that case because O.J. happened right in the middle of that investigation in 1994. So that was Marcia's last case before O.J. So even though she didn't actually try the case because she was off the case because of the O.J. Murder case. So,
and of course, I've heard of the O.J. murder case.
Never heard of it. Yeah, this case, it kind of, you know, it was kind of a minor case. It just kind of took off a little bit. I'm being obviously facetious when I say that. Yeah, it was a crazy time.
Sure.
It was a crazy time in LAPD and just LA in general.
When you retired from the police department, from the LAPD, Michael Connelly wrote at the time, "No one cared as much about his cases, or no one cared about his cases as much as Rick Jackson." Do you agree with that assessment?
Not really. There are a lot of people that are totally, totally dedicated, and I've said this a lot in interviews over the years. There are people that work homicide. It sounds interesting, and they end up staying a year or two because it's very, very demanding, a lot of time involved. There's a lot of pressure on these cases because there's a lot at stake, obviously, with the kind of crime that it involves. So there are people that pass through homicide, and there are lifers, people that stay once they get there for their whole career. And so those people wouldn't stay in homicide and do the stuff they do to their body and their, you know, their health and everything else if they didn't really care about their cases. Mike knows me. He knows I really care about cases, and that was a very nice article he wrote. But, yeah, there's a lot of people totally dedicated to those kind of cases.
All right. Well, I've been talking to Rick Jackson, retired LAPD, now with San Mateo County Sheriff's Office. He also works with Michael Connelly on his books. We're going to talk about that because we're going to bug him next week as well. Michael Connelly's newest Renee Ballard and Harry Bosch novel, The Night Fire, comes out in October. But stay tuned for next time's episode. Rick, absolute pleasure talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Brian. Thanks.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Move west down Ventura Boulevard and all the bands.